Good morning, Frigg.
Thank you.
Are one of the members of Stichting der Desire.
Yes.
Who is visiting right now Auroville.
Yes.
Can you tell us a little bit about what is Stichting der Desire? What is the importance for Auroville?
The Stichting der Desire was created by a woman called Honig, who, with a group of friends, visited Auroville several times, was partial to Auroville. And just before she died, she established this the foundation. Stichting means foundation. Okay. And bequeathed the foundation her estate. Mm-hmm. And from that estate, the proceeds from that estate, the foundation is now able to fund projects, activities also in Auroville. We also have other activities. And the first members of the Stichting, of the board of the foundation, were close friends of her, people who were very close to Auroville. And one of them was Mia Berden, and Mia was somebody who visited Auroville, if I'm well informed, on an annual basis, and she stayed here for a month or longer. Lots and lots and lots of friends and people who knew her well. And so she was the chairperson of the foundation, mm-hmm. and supported the work of Auroville and Aurovillians a lot. And a lot of projects were indeed supported by Stichting Desire. Then, after Mia left the chair of the board, but not the board, mm-hmm. Hank Thomas became the chair of the foundation, the board of the foundation, and so he continued to work that Mia had started. Mia still remained in the board. He continued to work, but Hank also introduced Hank is an economist by training.
He's a launch of the book. Yeah.
Yes, exactly, and he is. He then had this interest in the economy of Auroville, how a community which is non-capitalistic, which is based on participatory forms of if you want, management, on participatory forms of governance. Mm-hmm. How this community is functioning. Hank had done research before doing Auroville, research in Yugoslavia and in Spain on a large cooperative movement. So he is a specialist in participatory governance issues. And indeed, he started a research some 15 years ago.
I think 1986.
Yeah, together with, well, not together, Hank was doing the economic side and Stuart was doing the sociological side. Stuart did his PhD in Canada a couple of years ago. Hank Thomas, together with Emmanuel Thomas, published a book just
last week.
Which indeed I can recommend to everybody. It's a very good book on not just the history of Auroville, but also on the foundations of.
I will tell you, that's also, it's really educational also for us.
Hmm.
I mean, those who were not here 30, 40 years.
Yeah. It's and it highlights case studies of small enterprises, units in Auroville. Hank left the board some 2 years ago, and I succeeded him as chair of the board. Now the board has four members, and three of us are here, Martine Busch, Jan-Willem Pietersen, and the fourth member, Carmelita van Zijl, unfortunately, 2 days before we left, dislocated the disc in her spine. And
that's painful.
Yes, it's bad. She's in hospital. Got an email just this week that she's now out of hospital, almost out of hospital. So it's getting, she's doing slightly better, but she was not able to travel. That's very unfortunate. She and Martine have been here 15 years ago, mm-hmm. together with Mia. And now we're here, the four of us, because Jan Willem and myself, we are new to Auroville, new to its ideals, and we handle applications without really knowing what's going on.
So this is your first visit?
It's my first visit, not to India, but it's definitely my first visit to Auroville.
Well, what is your impression about everything probably you read before?
It's impressive. It's fascinating. It's impressive. Like Hank, I'm also a researcher, not an economist, but I'm an academic. So I have my questions about the sustainability of Auroville, and lots of these questions I asked, and I got lots of answers and lots of hints and suggestions, and that created new questions and new thoughts and new considerations. It's clear that, and that is also what the Stichting desired us, looking at the future of Auroville, there are lots of questions. Lots of question marks, lots of uncertainties, and few certainties. And I think that Auroville is on the verge of having to take decisions, or having to take decisions that deal with the sustainability of the experiment, deal with the sustainability of the community. Things around Auroville are changing rapidly, and Auroville as a community has to find an answer to these changes in order to attract newcomers, new visitors, new people.
Yeah, because it's supposed to represent the humanity, and so for that we will have to adjust somehow.
Yeah, well, I'm not sure. Well, yeah, you might call it adjusting, or it's in. Maybe that is the legacy of Hank. maybe that is because I read his book. It's important for Auroville to have an economic sustainability. The Auroville cannot continue to rely on grants, large donations, well-wishers. A lot of these grants and donations have done beautiful work. But if this is to be a community that, on its ideals, with the philosophical ideals, but also the governance ideals, is to sustain...
Then you have to be independent, yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact is also to be independent that way on economical sustainability, then it will bring us more or less to the same system which is outside, because then you have to start selling yourself. No,
you don't have to sell yourself. You have to sell things that you believe in and things that you do.
But can you put a price on spirituality?
No, you can't put a price on spirituality, but you can put a price on beautifully produced organic farm produce,
yeah,
on beautifully produced carpets, furniture, on there are products which for which there is a market. Does this mean giving up your ideals and the foundations of the community? I don't think so, because internally it might be possible to retain the system of a non-money economy. As it is, but let's not forget that already, as it is now, in lots of corners of Auroville, there is a mixed economy, so to say.
I mean, we don't have money, but still we do operate with the money, and even with the card, you have money on it or you don't have it.
Yes, and you have lots of workers you employ. And
they
don't work for a cart. They work
for the street money.
They work for the fee, for the wage.
Yeah, we the last year, especially the last year, lots of general meetings and lots of conversation. It was on those topics actually. What do we stand for, and what do we want, and how to proceed, how to achieve it.
Mm-hmm. But I mean, all your ideals and philosophical foundations, including the non-monetary economy, if you accept that it is partial, and so therefore also including spirituality and including the quest for oneself, can be retained while having relationships with the outside world. I mean, that's my perception of the way of viewing things. It is that, or building a huge wall around
that doesn't work, because it's still... I think the mother envisioned it to be exactly where it is, and it just has a certain purpose and reason.
Yeah, exactly. Building a wall was not in the mother's writings.
I think that we got walls somehow, that we will have to deal with that and also accept what is around, not just in fancy projects and so-called charitable projects, but really to embrace it.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. If you want to move away from charity, which I think you should, I mean, Orofil is not sort of the beneficiary, or should not be the beneficiary of charity. Then you have to think of a way of as it were, marrying the ideals of spirituality, the ideals of having of founding a non-monetary, non-capitalist society, community, and sustainability. And sustainability, I think, is not only a matter of farming in a biological way and being very careful what you do with your waste and et cetera. So the eco-sustainability, it is also sustainability of economic sustainability. But it's my view that just as you can have, let's say, eco-farming, you can have eco-economy. In that sense, you can have an you can deal with economy and economic matters, yes, involving money as a go-between, without surrendering to an surrendering to.
I think the key word the mother would say is detachment.
Mm-hmm.
That you service to the community, and being detached from the fruits of your work. So if the units would be functioning that way, then the money would go to the common pot and you would be detached from it.
Yeah, but that also means that you have to, for the units, you have to make it possible that they reach the full potential, not just as a unit, but also as the individuals who work in it and the combination of individuals who work in a unit. We've heard a lot in the last week from several corners, whether we spoke to institutions or whether we spoke to individuals, that there is more potential than that there is currently realized. And it seems that there are obstacles or hiccups that prevent the full potential from being realized. Mm. And I don't think it is sort of contrary to the beliefs of the community, beliefs of the writings of the mother, to look for ways to deal with those hiccups and obstacles. It is not contrary to the beliefs that you say, well, let us reach our full potential jointly, individually, but also our full potential, not just in spiritual sense, but also in the sense that what is it that we accomplish? And certainly if you then do that in such a way that it is the community that flourishes, work for the service of the community. That's definitely what the mother said.
For sure. It has to be balanced. It's not only one. Otherwise, we would be in ashram if we would be looking just for that. Yeah. Or we would be in managing some kind of offices or companies.
No, but it's correct. But I also think that one can require from individuals, units, groups of individuals, that they perform to their optimum in the service of the community, for the service of the community. And it's well, what motivates people here, drives people here, is possibly not the making lots of money, but
it's a catch, yeah.
No, it should be possible, and I'm not saying it is, but it should be possible that you are motivated for the good of the community. That yes, I'll do the best I can, because it's for the service of the community. rather than I do the best I can because it's good for myself and I make lots of money, now you do it for the community. And I sometimes have the feeling that I do what I can because it's good for me. Mm. Which is equally the same as I do what is good for myself because I make lots of money.
It's a tricky, yeah.
It's very tricky, and I'm not quite sure whether it is the equation is correct.
Some do fall in it, also due to the circumstances. There may be lackness of, and especially if you got children, you know, all of a sudden there's a need for some things, and you realize, okay, with maintenance, no way, you cannot do it.
No?
So people do start units for that reason, not to help the community, but for that reason to prosper for themselves, to go forward. And you know how it is when you start making money, enough is never enough.
Mm.
So that's a tricky part on which we are trying to go over. But I still think that there's enough people who are committed to the ideals and the visions of the mother.
Mm-hmm.
And the new world which is coming, not only in Norway, but outside. Because we are all on the shifting spaces. What to do? The capitalism is not working, so what's...
No, there are... I mean,
the resources are depleted.
Exactly, there's a whole study field of alternative currencies and alternative the alternatives to capitalism. That's not only in Orville that people are having this search. It's in lots of places.
Well, let's stay with the topic because you are visiting to see how the some projects you founded, the grants been. Allotted to them in previous year, you're trying to see what happened with it, and most likely you would also choose for the next year.
No,
because I know that's the people are really those who submitted it, the requests, they're anxious. Are we going to get it? Are we continuing? Are we?
Let's be frank, I cannot tell you now, not because I don't want to, but we decide on grant applications in a board meeting which we have 3 times a year in Utrecht, in the Netherlands. So I'm not going to decide on any applications, which fortunately I haven't seen any applications recently here in the radio studio. Mm. We are not on an evaluation mission in the sense that we've not come here to see how grants that were made in the past, how they have blossomed or not.
Mm-hmm.
We definitely have come on an exploration to see what is happening, but not just to the projects have been receiving grants. It's a mission to acquaint us with what is Orville, especially Jan Willem, the treasurer, and myself, because we had never been here. As I said, the other two board members have been here. It also gives us a better context when we do receive applications to place them in. Where in Orville is this project happening? Not so much who, because we meet people, but we don't recall them constantly. Yeah. But it's definitely giving us a better feel and view of how does this project contribute to the well-being of Orville.
Mm.
And that sort of this combination of what is Orville, what is the future of Orville, and how do projects that come to our side. How do projects activities fit into that?
Mm-hmm.
That's something which we definitely have now a far better picture than we had in the past.
Yeah, when you see it with your eyes, okay.
Yeah, but and you also see, okay, this application is to do this, or this application is to contribute to that. Mm-hmm. We now know what is this and what is that.
But tell me, beside Orville, you are supporting also some other communities through all over the world, yeah?
No, but not. I wouldn't say communities. We have
projects.
Four structural partners, and Orville is one of our structural partners. We have a structural partner in Pakistan. It's the Pakistan Institute of Labour Education and Research. We have two structural partners in the Netherlands. One is the Parapsychological Institute, and the other one is a center where musicians and science come together.
Well, cool. So interesting.
Those are our four structural partners, and in addition to that, we also consider loose applications that come in for people who have found us. We are on the internet. We have a website. And sometimes people find us and they send an application and we consider and reject or accept.
After, I think you arrived a week ago, yeah?
Yes.
So that's not much time, but still, what is the most striking thing that impressed you in the city itself?
Oh, that's a good question, which I definitely have. I guess that the most striking, this most striking meeting we had with what is called the youth of Auroville. We met a group of nine people who, some of them were born here and stayed here. Some of them were had moved to Auroville while a child, grew up, went abroad for education, came back. Some of them went abroad, came back, went abroad. So a group of these people, somewhere between, let's say in their 30s or around their 30s. That was a very stimulating, energizing meeting. Not that the others were not. Mm. I've been thoroughly impressed by some of the farms I met. We had an exciting meeting with the farm group. I've been thoroughly impressed with the forest, and don't ask me to pronounce the name, but I can't. I can't single out a particular meeting. They all were extremely informative and impressive. But if you force me and put me against the wall and said you have to say single out, we have to single out one, I guess it was the meeting with the they were presented with this is the youth of Auroville. Yeah.
No, but I mean out of these meetings you had and presentations and acquaintances with projects, the other stuff, what do you see around when you even go for lunch or when you're talking with the people out of the meetings? Because I'm pretty sure that when you come home, somebody will ask you, so how Auroville looks like? What is nice there? What is not nice? Or, you know, what is really bad? Or, I don't know. But something that it will really stay okay.
That well, you have very... people I meet are very committed in everything they do. Mm. Whether it's... yesterday we had a presentation on somebody who wrote a book on the Kolam. Whether it's that or whether it's farming, whether it is the bicycle repair shop or whether it is going to the Matri Mandir. I mean, the commitment of people to what they are doing is striking.
Mm-hmm. And probably lots of passion behind it, yeah?
Lots of passion behind it. And I work in a department of labor studies, so I've done a lot of research on labor and with workers and laborers. Not everybody is as committed and passionate to what they are doing as the people I meet here. That is definitely a striking difference with my other work. And yeah, look here. If I look around, fortunately the studio has windows. If I look around, I see green, I see trees. I saw pictures where 50 years ago, 45 years ago, there was nothing.
True.
And so that is when we drive around. Inside Auroville, outside Auroville, you see the difference. This is green, lush, fantastic. And that's all done by Auroville and Aurovillians.
Yep.
So that in itself is a great accomplishment. But of course, I would like to come back in 10 or 15 years and see it greener.
To see it greener?
Not literally. I mean, you can't make this more greener. But to see a thriving community then.
In awareness, yeah.
In awareness, but also in sort of in energy and bustling and doing things and not people who are inward looking and only look at themselves rather than looking at the community. I think the community, what the tension I see, it's not a real tension, it's a big word. It's a tension between the individual and the community. And how to deal with that is not easy. If I had that answer, I would not be sitting here.
I think we are all searching for that, yeah.
Mm. I thank you very much for inviting me here. Mm. And I hope that the radio can continue doing its good work.
Thank you. We're trying.
I hope that you will get your license to get an FM license. So who knows? if we come next year to Orville and
you
to the radio studio,
you will be able to listen to us in Solar Kitchen.
You see, Andrea told us, and he showed us the paperwork. And but the good part of the paperwork is done, and now it's a matter of applying.
Put it together.
Yeah,
Rick, thank you so much for coming.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.